Welcome you to Barbie's Grove this morning. Got a few on vacation, but you're here and the Lord's here. And if you're here and the Lord's here, we're in good company. Amen. And I believe he's got a blessing for you as we worship the Lord together. Remember the schedule this week? I know that Lionel's going to do it in a minute, but it will help you. Just remember Thursday, the Monday-Thursday service. And you know, next week this time, you should be back home. Full of breakfast and full of the Word. So, and it also gives you a chance if you want to visit some other church for their 11 o'clock service. God's good. He's good for all of us. He loves us. This week, concentrate on the life and the crucifixion, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, you're so good to us. We think about the fact that 2,000 years or so ago, this week, Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. Not because we were so worthy, but because of God's great love. And Father, we thank you for that love that you have for us. Now may we worship you today in spirit and in truth. We welcome the presence of the Lord today here at Barbie's Grove. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The pastor's prayer just was a great introduction for the song that we're going to do this morning for our call to worship. And we're going to be singing with Stuart Townsend today. We have done this song before. It's been a while, and I can't remember if it was last Easter or not. But it is just a powerful song about basically what happened on Good Friday, and also the purpose for it. So y'all, please just listen to the words because they are so powerful. It paints a very vivid picture. So if y'all will stand with me and let's sing the power of the cross.
Written on your face, bearing Today at Barbie's Grove, let me go over the announcements for you. I've been asked to do this, and I consider it an honor to stand before you this morning. First of all, today at 6 p.m., we'll be starting back our choir practice, and if you've ever sang in the choir or want to sing in the choir, it's a good opportunity to be here at 6. You're all invited. Leonard said that he looks forward to seeing you all here. Then moving on, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on March the 25th, there'll be a building and grounds committee meeting here at the church. And then this coming Wednesday, the services have been moved to Thursday, as earlier mentioned. We'll be celebrating Maundy Thursday at 6:30, and it will take place of our regular Wednesday evening Bible study. And then Saturday, next Saturday, at 10 p.m., we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for our children here, starting at 10. And it says to bring your Easter basket, invite your friends, bring your family, grandkids, and come join in the fun. And then we'll move forward to next Sunday, which will be our Easter Sunday. And we will begin early, 5:30. Cooks need to be here to start preparing breakfast. Then at 7 a.m. we'll have our sunrise service, and at 7:30 we'll meet in the fellowship hall to have breakfast, and then following that at 8:30 we'll have our worship service and communion, no Sunday school, and it's a great time again. Invite friends and family to come and celebrate the risen Lord Jesus this year at Barbie's Grove. Then the next thing on our agenda here will be church council. We're starting back church council meeting on April the 7th at 11 a.m. following worship service. This will be immediately following the worship service. And if you're a committee, department leader, or a group leader, we need your presence at this meeting. And it says here, if you have any questions, to reach out to Leonard on that. And then continuing on through this month of March and April will be the Annie Armstrong Eastern Offering. You have the enclosed prayer guides that have been passed out. The theme this year is United to Reach North America with the Gospel. And our goal this year is $1,500. Are there any additional comments or announcements that need to be made at this time? Okay. If not, we'll turn our attention to the prayer list. You have a list on the back there. I think there's about 60 of those, and I notice about a third of those are actually church family. So we have a lot of prayer needs within and without. Any additions, reports, praise reports, updates on the prayer list? Yes, Robert.
I have a praise report. I have my six-month checkup for CT scan Wednesday. My kidney, the cyst on the kidney is not growing, but I do have aortic aneurysm, and I'm not worried about it, but it's like 5 centimeters. So just keeping me praying.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Anyone else? Unspoken? Anyone else?
We added Robert's aunt, Katie Wicker, to the list. She's the last one on there.
Yes.
We'll pray for her. She has cancer. She also is in the health page, as you mentioned. Just on her final driving, so please pray for her family.
Okay. What, Kathy? Okay. And I understand Barbara Whitley had a successful week having the kidney stone removed. Any updates from anyone on her? Okay. Have you heard anything from... She's at Food Line the next day?
Very good.
That's a great report, Ricky. Thank you, Ricky. Yes. Great praise report. Any updates on Alan, Carol? He's still in the hospital then? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you for the updates. Thank you for the praise reports. If there's nothing else, we'll take time now and we'll pray. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the special time of year that we're entering upon, Lord. And as we look at the cross, Father, we thank you for the power of the cross that we just sung about. Help us to look at that cross, Lord, realizing that cross was meant for us. And Lord, how thankful we are that you allow Jesus to take that for us. And Father, now as we enter in a time of worship, we would come and ask that we would receive your word, Lord. Let it penetrate our hearts, Father. Let us truly worship you, not just at this moment, Lord, but help us to let others see Jesus as we leave and go about our daily lives. Father, we thank you for the good reports that we've heard this morning. For the report on Robert, Father, we pray that you continue to be with him. Give him good health, Father. And thank you, Father, that our friend Alan will be soon coming home. Pray for his continuing recovery. Lord, we thank you for the good report on Barbara as well, Father, that the pain has left her now and the body is healing. We thank you for that. And Father, for those that are near the end, we pray for Peggy Wicker, Father. Give her comfort. Be with those that care for her, Father. Be for the rest of them that are on this list, Father, that are nearing the end as well, Father. We thank you, Father, that we are living in a world that has the facilities that we have. And we don't have to be alone. We don't have to suffer, dear Father. But we have help. Help us to realize, Father, where our help comes from and be grateful. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the leaders. And right now I lift up our pastor to you, Father, that you would bless him, fill him with your Holy Spirit, lead each and every one of us, dear Father, as we sit, that we not would continue sitting, Father, as we leave, but would be willing to show others the love we have for you. Thank you, Father, for your love this day. And thank you for Jesus. For it's his name we pray. Amen.
Holy.
to join us with this, okay? Not all will be doing the motion. Some their talent is singing, so we're going to let them sing loud.
You remember when Jesus was going in and they were crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Some of the Jewish leaders went to the disciples and said, "Y'all need to shut up. And Jesus said, if my followers didn't praise me, even the stones would cry out. Folks, let's praise him. Let's don't let the bricks and the rocks take our place. We need to praise him. And I hope that you really listened to the words in the song that Rita picked out about the power of the cross. Because that's the theme of what I want to share this morning. Appreciate Rita and Lionel for helping us this morning. Now, if you go to a busy place, say a mall, with thousands of people coming through, and you got your clipboard and you start stopping people and saying, do you mind answering a few questions? And of course, some of them wouldn't, but some of them would. And you say, what happens after you die? You're going to get a number of different answers depending on their background. Somebody's going to say, when you die, you die. They bury you and that's it. Oh, you don't believe in an afterlife, a heaven or hell? Nope. I just believe that when you die, you die. Somebody else will say, well, I believe when you die, you go to heaven. Another person would say, well, depending on how you lived, I believe you're going to heaven or to hell. And then, of course, depending, you know, if you happen to run into some people from some other religions, they might talk about nirvana or some other eternal resting place. Now, if you ask those that talked about heaven, how do you get to heaven? You'd probably get some answers like these. Well, everybody's going to heaven. And then you get an answer like, well, good folks are going to heaven. And then you get an answer that went something like this. Only saved people, that born again people, go to heaven. Friends, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are central to what we believe. And yet, at the same time, even though it's the focus of Christianity, there are people that do not want to believe it. You may remember, and I've referred to it a number of times, there are some even Christian denominations that have taken all the hymns about the blood of Jesus out of their hymn books because they don't like a bloody religion. So all of those songs about power in the blood and wonder-working power and those, they just took them out of the hymn books because they don't want to think about it. And from the time of Paul and onward, the cross and Jesus dying on the cross has been a point of contention. Now, Paul has some things to say that I want us to look at because it's so important. Galatians 5:11. Galatians 5:11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. He says people are offended by the cross. People are offended by the cross. Now go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. He talks about the offense of the cross. He talks about the cross being a stumbling block. He talks about the cross being foolishness. And some translations use the word scandal. You know, you talk about some kind of scandal about a person or a situation. Some of them say this cross is a scandal to mankind. People look at Jesus dying on the cross, and it's a scandal, it's an offense, it's foolishness, it's a stumbling block. And they think, surely this is not the way to heaven. Surely this is not the way to heaven. Now, what is there about the cross that offends people? One thing the cross says, you're a sinner. And you need a Savior. And Jesus dying on the cross is that Savior. You're a sinner. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin must be paid for. And there's a lot of folks don't like to be called sinners. You realize today how sin has become a sort of almost a thing of the past. Things that when I was growing up and you were growing up that were sin, now are alternate lifestyles. The type of life I choose to live. It's a disease. It's a psychological quirk. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, and we justify our actions. I've been thinking about how many people do all kinds of crazy things and say, I'm entitled to do this. You think about all the riots that we've seen. And when they get done, they say, well, because of our past, I have a right to get out there and burn and loot and steal. And folks, it's not just black people that do it. White folks do it. Asian folks do it. Middle Eastern folks do it. All over the world. Right about the time, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when the riots were so bad, somebody sent me a picture on my phone, I think. And some guy's got there in a big old poster board that says, just because I choose to rob your store doesn't give you a right to shoot me. And I'm thinking, what an idiot. People feel entitled. It's not sin anymore. But the cross says, you are a sinner. And you are going to die in your sins unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The cross says this is God's way of dealing with sin. And God's only way of dealing with sin. And for me to admit, yes, I am a sinner. Oh, but I'm not as bad as that person over there. Hey, it don't matter. It don't matter. I've used this illustration enough to scare you. It don't take but one link out of one of those light fixture chains to break, and somebody, depending on where you're sitting, may have a headache. All of them don't have to break, just one. You don't have to be the worst sinner in the world. I don't have to be the worst sinner in the world. I just have to be a sinner, just one. And the cross is offensive to people because it says, you are a sinner. The cross is offensive to people because it says, Jesus is the only Savior. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hare Krishna or somebody else. The cross says, Jesus is the Savior. That He's the only way, that He's supreme, He stands alone, nobody else. And the cross says Jesus is the only way to be saved. What, you mean my religion isn't just as good as yours? We live in a popular day when even a lot of Baptists say, well, you know, those folks are going to heaven. They're not Baptists, they're not Christian, but they're going to heaven. No, no, no. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? And the cross, saying that Jesus is the only way, it offends people. Peter, preaching and sharing and testifying later in the book of Acts, says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter doesn't say, you know, a lot of folks like to think there's many roads to God. No, there's one, and it's Jesus. I don't know why I remember this, but I do. It's only been 70 years. But I remember watching The Lone Ranger on TV, black and white. And in one particular program, one of the persons said something about there are many roads that lead to God. And I didn't get it at that point. I didn't understand enough. But folks, there's only one way, and it's Jesus. One way, and it's Jesus. That hippie culture, one way, was right. You know, there are people that think God's too good to allow people to go to hell. But going to hell is not an act of God, it's a choice. It's a choice. I could come across down here the bridge at Booger Holler and see the water coming over the bridge about so high. And I could say, no big deal, I can make it. And wash off down the creek and get killed. My choice. Or I can say, no, no, I don't think that's a good idea, and turn around and come back another way. And every person that hears about Jesus has a choice. They can choose to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or they can deny Him. So whenever you tell people, when Jesus died on that cross, He died for your sin and for mine. When you tell people that Jesus is the only way to heaven, a personal relationship with Jesus is the only way to heaven, they're offended. Just look at the newspapers or the things that you see. Narrow-minded, bigots, unloving, unkind. I don't like being called names any more than you do. But I prefer to go to heaven. And I prefer to go to heaven, and there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And I and you have a responsibility to tell others that truth in a loving way. And whether they choose to believe it or not, that's their choice. But the cross is offensive. It was offensive in that day. It says the Jews thought it was a stumbling block. I mean, to see this guy dying on a cross? And the Greeks, who had such a love for perfection, if you see those statues, all those that were carved back in those days, those beautiful bodies, the ideal, you know, the Olympics, the ideal perfect human body, to see a body that was broken and bruised and crucified, bloody, was an offense to them. And yet, it was God's way of saving us. It was an offense. Now, can you affirm with the Apostle Paul today, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, also to the Greek. Isn't it interesting? The cross, so offensive, and yet it is the power of God unto salvation. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the cross. It's the cross that brings us forgiveness. It's the cross that puts us in a face-to-face loving relationship with Almighty God. It's the cross that restores us and makes us whole. It's the cross that enables us to grow in grace, to become more like Jesus. There's a power in the cross that Paul understood. A power in believing in a personal Savior who was crucified, who dealt with our sin, offensive to some, but us who believe, what a change in our lives it makes. What a change in our lives it makes. Don't be offended by the cross. Thank God for it. Rejoice in the cross. Just a little phrase from the, I think it goes like this. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. Do you glory in the cross? I know people are offended, but glory in it. Paul says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul says you got to believe in the cross and in the resurrection and confess it. The cross is not some pretty little thing to wear around your neck, though it's there's no problem with that. The cross was a bloody, awful, painful way to die. But on that cross was the Son of God who loved you and he loved me. And he put himself there as a choice, that we might be forgiven. All so that we might spend an eternity with him. It's so sad that many of the people that you would have interviewed there out in that mall would die and go to someplace other than heaven. I don't know why I was thinking about this last night, but we had about 150 in my high school graduating class. And every so often, one of the men in the class that keeps up with such things sends us an updated class roster. Where, who we are and where we live and the phone numbers, email addresses, that kind of thing. And then the last page is always is a list of those in the class who are deceased. And of course, there's no address for them. They're deceased. And I get to thinking, wonder where their address is. How many of those kids that I went to school with, their address would be heaven? And how many of them would be hell? I don't know. I pray that they're all in heaven, but I don't know. The cross is all that makes the difference. Jesus died for you. He died for me. This week, don't let anybody make you ashamed of the cross. Embrace the cross. Embrace the Savior who died on the cross. And sing those hosannas of praise because of that. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? And if there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you just get up and come down the aisle? If there's somebody listening on the website, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'll make that affirmation and then contact some Christian church, somewhere they really believe the Bible, they'll explain to you about baptism and church membership. But all of us, I think most of us here are born again, saved on our way to heaven. Thank God for the cross. Don't be offended by it. Just thank God for it. As the music plays now, if there's a decision you need to make, you need to come to the altar. Would you come? Father, I pray for each person that's listening to my voice that this will be a week that we will turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full into his glorious face. See him on the cross, but see him resurrected. Seeing him coming again in all of his glory. And may we worship and be thankful. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.